So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." This is God's word. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
The truth is becoming a stranger. I guess I was thinking a little more about that. It's maybe like a former spouse who you once knew, but you are, in fact, more than estranged, divorced. The truth is becoming a stranger. Despite an increase in knowledge and technical ability, much of the West is sliding into a spiritual sunset. As the rays of truth that once were ours become dimmer, fewer people are brought up in the Christian truth, fewer recognize it, fewer are born from the truth into new life, fewer live from the truth before God by faith every moment of life, or by the truth with their neighbor in love, according to the various vocations that they have been given. As a people, and we are born in a certain era, certain time, certain cultural climate, this is always true for people, and so even us today, we live among a people of unclean lips, unclean lives, unclean hearts, unclean minds. We have shunned the truth and refused the embrace that it seeks between God and man. We have instead set out on our own way. In fact, we are marching fiercely on our own path, despite the deepening darkness. Perhaps we have a nostalgic or wistful hope that the truth we have turned away from maybe is back there somewhere, maybe still following on our independently chosen way. But just there is the one basic question confronting us. Does the truth follow, or does it lead? Even basic logic is fading, but basic logic states that a conclusion follows on the truthful, true, factual places of and pieces of information and evidence. An example might be the game of Clue, where through a process of asking questions, taking notes, deducing, and removing, all within the scenario, the embracing scenario of the rules of the game, a player can eventually come to the suspect, the weapon, and the scene of the crime. So if it is not Colonel Mustard, Miss Scarlet, Mr. Green, Mrs. Peacock, or Mrs. White in the ballroom with the revolver, then it must be Professor Plum. The conclusion follows on the evidence that has been gathered and processed. And this way of thinking is obviously important in our world, and it's what powers science. You have to find the evidence, you have to deduce from it the conclusion of what's in front of you. So science, business, politics, our judicial life together. The reality of Clue, though, is that it's a game. And that the conclusion that was deduced at the end through playing the game was actually already present at the very start of the game when three cards were selected out and placed into the secret envelope. So even when deducing that which is true, even there we have to catch up to the truth that is already there waiting. But what if there's more to the story? What if truth doesn't depend on us to activate it, but it is instead very active? It is personal, it is holy, and it is seeking. That's what Christians have always affirmed. What if it was not about processing, but about believing? Not about deducing a conclusion from that which follows, but rather instead about being taught by a teacher given to you. The truth wants to give itself. into your ears? What if truth did not have to follow us and our thinking and our desires, but instead, it was in the lead, remaking our thoughts and desires, bringing about repentance and contrition, and giving us life anew? Paul testifies in Ephesians 4, the truth is in Jesus. Jesus says about the scriptures in front of his Father as he prays on the night of his own betrayal, thy word is truth. And in those scriptures, Jesus says about himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. That statement of Paul, the truth is in Jesus, is found in Ephesians chapter 4. And I want you to attend to that chapter here. I'm going to read some verses from it. And I know we can set aside 45 minutes to play a game of Clue or 3 hours to watch a football game. So let's set aside some attention and focus on Ephesians chapter 4. These words were written with St. John's Lutheran Church in mind. Okay, they apply to you. And the verses I'm not going to read actually are about the pastoral office that Christ, when he ascended on high, he gave gifts to men, including pastors and teachers, or we would say pastors slash teacher. These gifts are given by the truth, Jesus. But Paul writes, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling. So notice the truth is out front, calling you to itself. You don't deduce it or have it follow from certain pieces of evidence toward a conclusion. Truth is personal, holy, seeking, worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, namely our doctrine, beginning with the small catechism, the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. Remember, the truth is personal. He's calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened. Remember the setting sun? They are darkened in their understanding, alienated, estranged from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. That's the truth. What's the truth about us, though? Not the kind that we could produce or achieve or carefully massage and edit and message out in the way that we see fit, like we would on Facebook. It's called the edited self. Jesus says, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. So sin isn't just something that's out there that maybe needs to eventually be discovered. It's an object, something that we could kind of put in its proper place or category at an arm's length and a safe distance from ourselves. No, it is inside of us. It defines us as fallen creatures who do not fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Sin is not an object. It is a power that wants to pull us down and away from God and into ourselves and into what we can accomplish or perceive as truth. Paul says, we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped. No more talking, no more chit-chat. Every mouth is stopped and the whole world is held accountable. There's something we're losing in the West, accountability. The whole world held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now, Paul continues, but now, Paul says this in light of Christ and in light of the Old Testament scriptures that prophesied about him, in light of Christ's incarnation, baptism, his life of obedience, his sacrificial death, his glorious resurrection. But now, I say to you, in light of Romans 3, and Christ's life, death, and resurrection, and the Old Testament prophets that prophesied of him, and in light of the Lutheran Reformation, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, all who have been taught the word of truth by the teacher given to them, namely the scriptures. For there is no distinction whether we were once foolish and in the dark, or whether we consider ourselves wise, whether we're lifelong Lutherans or maybe not yet a Lutheran. There is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Remember Ephesians 4? The truth is in Jesus. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward. It's not us seeking out the truth. God has publicly portrayed him and given him there up on the cross, the propitiation God put forward by his blood to be received by faith. The truth does not follow. He leads, like a shepherd in the midst of his sheep. The truth is not found in us. It is found in Scripture. The truth is not a slave to us and our goals and our desires to accomplish them. Rather, the truth is the Son, who took on the form of a servant, the servant of the Lord. He committed no sin. No deceit was ever found in his mouth. He willingly offered himself humbly and lowly to redeem all of us who had been enslaved to our sin and the devil's lie. The Son sets you free by his gospel. He's not dead but living. He's living, he's preaching, he's teaching, he's calling out, he is the shepherd. The Son sets you free by the truth, by the good news of the gospel, by your baptism, by his own body and blood. He has brought divine mercy to its goal, and now he freely and lavishly bestows it on you. The truth is in Jesus. Redemption is in him and his blood. It's yours, according to his own word and promise. Amen. Let us join together and confess.